Such a nice gift. Thank you. May the words of my heart, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, in thy sight. Amen.
Amen.
I would just like to read you the colic that we read this morning again. It says, Blessed Lord, who caused all scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. In the past few weeks, I haven't had an opportunity to be here because I have been asked to lead the worship service in several United Methodist churches. And that was really exciting for me because you see what happens in the United Methodist Church is I get to make up the entire worship service. I get to pick out the scripture, the songs, the call to worship, everything about the service. And I usually have the most wonderful time of picking scriptures that I love. Because don't you want to just hear the ones you love over and over again? Sometimes I have a different viewpoint on what they say, but it's really great to share those scriptures with the people in new places. Now, here we are in the Episcopal Church, and that doesn't happen. What we follow is the lectionary. And the lectionary asks us to look at some scriptures that we might never choose to read. One of them being the book of Daniel. When I saw that that was the first scripture, I thought to myself, oh no. Now, what am I going to do with that? We have options, you know. We could choose to just skip over that one and go to the epistle, which is Hebrews, or we could go to the Gospel of Mark, but actually all of them were really difficult for me to understand. And so my heart and my mind kept going back to Daniel. I thought, I really don't know a single thing about Daniel. And in my past, I always considered it to be kind of a fairy tale, kind of just a story. Well, I began to look it up, just kind of like it says for us to do in our colic. Look it up, study it, read it, underline it, think about it. I have to say, truthfully, I got up with Daniel in the morning and I went to bed with Daniel at night because it was just an amazing thing. I read it from the book, the translation that we use here in church, and then I skipped over to a translation that was much more contemporary so that I could understand it just a little bit better. Well, it turns out it is kind of a fairy tale. It actually was written about somebody totally different, and the name Daniel was chosen from some other old-time stories. And as I begin to read it, I thought to myself, well, why is it in the Bible? What is it that we would want to learn from this? What is it that we would want to think about? In the New Testament, in the Gospel, Jesus says, watch out and beware for those people who are going to go around and tell stories and pretend that they are me, because they're not going to tell you the truth. And I begin to think about these fires and the kinds of things that people were saying. And how many people were saying on television and in music and in a whole variety of places that the reason for the fires was because God was displeased with the people. And that God was causing all these fires around California because it was a sinful place and he was just burning it all down. I have to tell you, that's absolutely the last thing that I believe. I think God grieves with us. I think God helps us. I think God walks with us each and every step of the way. We hear that in the Psalms, how much God is with us at our right hand, giving us strength to move on forward through whatever it is that we have to deal with. And so I began to think about Daniel just a little bit more and what was happening. And actually, Daniel and his three companions, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, got themselves into lots of trouble. And the reason they got into a lot of trouble was because they refused ever to give up their loyalty to their one true God. No matter what it was that they were asked to do by the king who had captured them, no matter what they were asked to do, they stood up in courage and stood up for their one true God. Those three men found themselves in a furnace, fiery, so hot that nobody could even get in the same room with it. And when the king came down and looked to see if in fact they were burned up right into ashes, what they actually saw was not just three men, but a fourth man. And when they came out, not one hair on their head had been singed. Not one piece of their garment had been burned. Not one thing had happened to them. And he asked them, "What happened? How come you're still alive and you didn't get destroyed in the fire?" And they said, "Our God would never let that happen to us. Our God would protect us always." And so the stories went on with tall trees and with animals, a variety of animals with horns on their head and horns that outgrew other horns and eyes on their horns. And I thought, wow, you know, really, this is just a little bit beyond my comprehension. And yet, the theme of the story just kept right on going. And I thought, you know what? How often do we get so caught up in a whole bunch of unnecessary details when there's just one detail that we really need to remember? And that's that our one God will never let us down, will never be far from us. So when they told Daniel, no praying to your one true God, and he chose instead to get down on his knees three times a day and pray to God, even though he knew the guards were watching him and that he would have grave circumstances tossed down on his head, he continued to be loyal to God. Well, he ended up in the lion's den. He ended up in the lion's den and shut in tightly with some ferocious lions. And in the morning, the king came to see Daniel's tiny pieces all around. And what he found instead was Daniel standing there, waiting to be let out. And the king says, "Well, how can that be? How can you be standing there and not have succumbed to the ferocious lions?" And he said, "My God would never let that happen to me." His continual speaking up for his God, his continual being willing to speak out to the king, to the people around him about his one true God that would watch over him, his continually doing that is really what the book of Daniel is about. The book of Daniel is about being courageous, being forthright in telling the stories about your God, about being out there with the people and not stepping back. Now you see, Daniel had been rescued by the king to be a glorious person in his kingdom because he could read into the dreams, and he could tell the king what his dreams meant. And sometimes he told the king the answer to the dreams that the king did not want to hear. And again, Daniel was in a position of not being able to move forward. How does that reflect in our lives today? What is it that we're looking for? What is it that we hope we will always have a sense that our one true God is with us all of the time? Some of the people in paradise have no homes. Some of them have lost their family members. They've lost their children. They've lost their pets. They have lost so many things. I know a family really well who lost their home and their animals and are down here in Hollister staying with their mother for a little while they regroup. And while they're regrouping, what they're doing is organizing a worship service. A worship service in thanksgiving of God's grace in taking care of all of the things that they still have, like one another. All of the things that still reach out and touch them, and how they want to give hope to the people around them. How they want to be a beacon in their tragedy, past that, to the people who are still living in paradise or need to go back to paradise. When Eric, my son, went up to paradise to take animal food and clothing that you had given and gift cards that you had given and all kinds of other things that many people in this community had given in 2 days. 2 days he collected enough that filled a pickup and an entire horse trailer. And when he got there, people were so excited. They couldn't believe that somebody would come clear from Hollister and drive up there and bring them things that were from the people of Hollister. My God is good. My God always takes care of people. He would never let them grieve all alone. Eric met people who had been displaced. The one lady had not had any clothes to change into for 5 days. When she saw the clothes that you had given so that she could change her clothes and the gift card that she got so that she could go and buy underwear and other necessary things, she was overwhelmed. She actually told Eric at one point, "I used to be the person who was gathering things. I used to be the person who was giving, but this time it was my turn to be in need." Her turn to be in need, what? Not just of material things, but knowing that God's love was right there with her all of the time. Eric is a very Christian young man, but not a person who gets up and speaks out like his mother, but a person who just lives into his kindness. He would touch you on the shoulder and give you a big hug no matter what the situation. And so he took that for all of us into paradise. Just like last year, we did the same thing when we went to Santa Rosa. Imagine the grace and the love that you have shared. Just like Daniel, you see, because Daniel would never, ever let people think that God wasn't right there with him all of the time, even in the most tragic and scariest situations. I have a wonderful musician that I look up to and think about so often. Her name is Joey and Rory. Country Western singers, gospel country Western singers. She got cancer. And she prayed so that she could have a child. So she wouldn't take any of the cancer medication, and in fact, she did have a child. She did have a child, a beautiful little girl that was born with Down syndrome. And yet she rejoiced over and over again for the beauty and the love of that child. But giving the child life had taken so much of hers. And so her last request was that she be able to write an entire album of Christian hymns that would touch the hearts of people who are going through in their lives terribly sad, grievous things. And so she stood there before the microphone and she would sing in her very now frail voice how great thou art, amazing grace, all of those beautiful hymns that most of us know. And each recording time, her voice got just a little bit softer. And at the very last time in the video, what you see is her sitting with her mother and her husband and her little daughter on a couch, and she looks very peaceful and happy. And she says, I hope that I have given them the grace and love that God has given to me. Imagine that. Never once did she complain. Never once did Daniel complain. Never once did Eric hear complaints from the people in paradise. They heard rejoicing and thanksgiving for the people who were sharing with them. They were thankful that God was there supporting them. Joey was thankful for God's each and every gift, for her daughter, for her husband, for her life for as long as she had it, and for her wonderful music that touched the lives of the people around her. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in the details of the story that seem really grim and awful in our world that we just don't have time to see the grace and the love that fills our hearts as we come here and we be together, or as we laugh and joyfully enjoy an incredible dinner together last night. Sometimes we just get caught in the details of ugly. But I guarantee you, God is here with us through all of the wonderful details of joy and happiness in our lives. I invite you to be a good Episcopalian. Read the scripture. Make yourself read it. Pick one at a time. You will be touched in a way that you perhaps hadn't thought of before. You might meet a whole new concept and a whole new love. A whole new love shared by the people in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.